appointment. We want to be your healthcare home. That number again, 481-6040, or check us out online at mymoinfo.com. Comtree, health happens here.
Get 0% financing till spring on your new Articat from Tim Surdyke Street Track and Trail. Hi, this is Tim Surdyke. The 2017 models are here, and new in-stock ATVs and side-by-sides get this great finance offer, plus a two-year extended warranty. And by combining rebates up to $3,000 and our desire to blow out inventory, we have pre-owned pricing on brand-new 2014 to 2015 Articats in stock. And bow hunters, with your purchase of a new Articat HDX, I will give you a free Fred Bear Wild Single Cam Compound Bow, so you're ready to hit the woods. And here's a Street Track and Trail exclusive for Articat buyers. Our Surdyke staff can deliver an Articat demo to you free of charge so you can try it out on your property to make sure it's the model that best fits your needs. What could be better than that? Check out the new 2017 Articats today at Tim Surdyke Street Track and Trail, next to the Harley store on Highway 67, south of Festus. Like us on Facebook and go to tsurdykeset.com and check out your new Articat.
Register today for the Fox E6 School District's 5K and 1 mile run or walk. The date is Sunday, October 23rd at 9 a.m. in Arnold City Park, and the event proceeds go to benefit the C6 Educational Foundation, which provides grants to benefit Fox School District students. Call 314-363-7951. That's 314-363-7951 for the special 5K and 1 mile run or walk at Arnold City Park, October 23rd, or go to fleetfeetstlouis.com. Supported in part by Mercy Hospital Jefferson and KJFF Radio.
Welcome to Jefferson College here on this Wednesday afternoon. Back to the original time slot and day out here at Jefferson College for the Viking Voices Show. Will Cheshire alongside with you, special guest in studio here with us today, talking some soccer. Jefferson soccer coach Ricardo Garza. Coach, just thanks again for coming on.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You guys finished the regular season all done at 9-7, but obviously the more important record, the 6-1 region play, and that region tournament starts on Saturday, getting set against Blue River at 2 p.m. So, Coach, just really, what are your thoughts going forward into the game Saturday to start?
And we look good right now. We look like a really difficult team to break down defensively. I don't know what's going to happen offensively, but we're not going to rely on that to get through the regional tournament this year.
Yeah, Coach, I've had some conversations with Coach Bartolone and a couple of your players along the year, and some of the things, especially what Luke said and Bartolone, sometimes offensively it's kind of been up in the air. Sometimes you'll score some points. You've made a couple of adjustments along the way, but the problem's been a little bit of finishing around the net. But you guys made an adjustment, I believe it was, Coach Bartolone said about 6 games ago, and since then he says that you guys have been a little bit better flowing.
Yeah, the rhythm looks a little bit better. We had some injury, little knickknacks here and there, but defense has been our strong point. Last year we went to the national tournament, and we were not as strong defensively as we were this year. It's just that the second half of this season, we sacrificed being a more defensive team and try to add that offense. But now that it is do or die, we'll go back to what we're really good at, which is holding it down defensively, putting teams under pressure, keeping the pace of the game extremely high. And then if goals come from that, then it's a bonus.
Okay. Is that something that obviously been here is 12th year now for you, Coach? Is that something you've always kind of preached, number one is defense?
And this is the first time in 12 years.
First time in 12 years.
This is a weird year. So we've always been our best defense is to keep the ball. We've had the ability to outpossess teams 90% of the game, and the goals always came based on the buildup. This particular year, it's just a completely different mix of players, and you can't always force players to play the way that you want. Can't force players into a system if it doesn't fit. And we have basically created a system around these players to make them the best they can be. And we saw that early in the preseason that maybe we should be a little more defensive, and that's when we tied St. Louis University, who's now going to win the A-10 conference most likely. They beat Wake Forest, and we shut them out. We tied them 0-0. But for our regular season, it doesn't do us any good to be defensive all year. It doesn't develop players. So we put that in our back pocket at times and just went for it, let the guys learn from experiences. But like I said, now that it's the regional tournament and everything's on the line, I just need these guys to get to the national tournament to continue their exposure process. That's all it means to me. So that's what we're training at right now as we speak. Bob and Dwayne are on the field doing defensive specialty stuff, and then when I get down there, we'll get into it. And the offense will come eventually. It's just not our primary source of what we're looking for to win.
Coach, you talk about the exposure and things of that nature and talking about going forward, because this is kind of a step in the right direction for kids looking to continue on. Just how important is that to you to get those kids exposure and try to get them to understand, like, hey, you know, this is a great two-year program you're at right now, but you can move on, go ahead and get a college degree as well, then potentially keep playing soccer at a higher level?
That's why I do it. You know, we played SLU this preseason. We played against two of our own teammates. They're playing in the backfield, and SLU wants two more. Majority of all our players went NCAA that left us last year, playing at a really good level right now, playing against Indiana universities and all of that. And I just want to, I motivate as a coach to develop, to take a kid from one level, get him to the next, and give him a good opportunity in life. So if we go undefeated but don't get to the national tournament, I'm devastated. Because if you go to the national tournament, they're getting the exposure that they need to get on with it. And then if you, like us, we're 9-7, I don't care. We're 0-0 right now going into the playoffs, and we only need to be 4-0 in four games to make their lives better by getting the exposure that they need. And that's how serious I take it. I look at it as not just a game, but an opportunity to improve their lives by being into a whole other, another level of opportunity, which is get to a nice college or university somewhere in the United States.
Yeah, and Coach, a lot of that we talk about, we talked about this earlier as well, is just the strength of schedule as well, and making sure that you're challenging those players and making sure that, hey, this is not going to be easy. You got to work hard for it.
Yeah, I mean, I believe six of the seven losses we have, they're all teams that are ranked in the top 10. We went after it. We played 11 games in 19 days in the month of September, and those were all where the ranked games were. So it wasn't like these guys had a complete fair shot each week to go out and be fresh. They would play one game and then within 24 hours turn around and have to play another good team. And that was to put them under pressure mentally and physically and put them under stress so that now when we've had a week off and we're going into one game and then you're going to get 5 days off and then another 4 or 5 days off, they're going to feel like they're on vacation a little bit. So that's how we actually train. It's, if you come out after this interview and you come downstairs and you watch us train, you'll see like this is a really, really fast pace. And that's because we need our training sessions to be faster than the game so that the game seems slow.
Okay, and then obviously that makes the in-game adjustments a lot easier as well for the players.
And that's where we run the teams, most of the teams off the field because they can't keep with the pace. It's just that we've shifted the tactics for the last 3 weeks to not worry so much about doing that and just teaching players, just teaching them flat out new ways to play at the next level. But now that we're going into the playoffs, now it goes back to let's keep the pace extremely high and defend and make things, close the spaces and, press into certain danger areas and just be more of an all-around, well-rounded defensive unit.
I imagine a lot of that as well when you're going at such a high pace that you're going to get tired, which means you got to be smart upstairs mentally in terms of being able to drive and have that motivation. Is that something you kind of preach to is from a mental standpoint to make sure they're tough and strong?
You try to make them feel frustrated. A good training day is when they've yelled at each other because out of frustration. A good training day is when they're frustrated because they can't, for some reason they can't keep that possession. But some of these younger guys don't realize we're not playing full field in training today. We're playing 18 to 18. We just took away 40 yards of space, and it's difficult. But come game day, you just added 40 yards of space, and all of a sudden the ball's flying around the field. It is a mental thing. And if we can track this in a situation where mentally they are just blitzed, then they're prepared for the game to face adversity.
Absolutely, absolutely, Coach. One thing about this roster, too, that we noticed is it's a younger team as well. Obviously, you get a lot of those challenges with the junior college every year. You're going to get a good amount of young new players in that. So kind of what are some of the challenges to getting those players to understand quickly, hey, this is Jefferson College soccer, this is the mindset, this is what we expect?
It's tough. I mean, we are a young team, and on top of the young team, the sophomores that are playing, only one is playing in the same position he played his freshman year. So realistically, 99% of these guys are learning something brand new this year. So like you harped on, the mentality is what you focus And then all the other stuff, the pace of the game, making that frustration seep into the training sessions, and then sort it out throughout the game and sessions. That's how you get a young team to perform. That's how you psych out a young team when they're not playing the greatest, and you can keep them in form by immediately throwing another obstacle at them, which is another game. So we, you know, I don't think we've lost any back-to-back games within a 24-hour period. I think we've always either split, but that's the tough. That was the toughness of our schedule this year. So you just didn't have time to bounce back. You just kind of thrown right back into it. And when you go to Nationals, if we don't get the seeding that we want, we'll have to play two games back-to-back at Nationals. So everything, we played Tyler at Tyler, that's where Nationals is. We played every team in the district. We have to go away to the district to go to Nationals. We got to go somewhere else. So these guys have been prepared. They played on every field that we might play along the playoffs, including the National Tournament, against teams we might see at the National Tournament. No one else that's going to the National Tournament can say that. So it would be devastating if we didn't get there. Obviously, you can't take it for granted. You're going to go. I've seen all kinds of things this in my career here where you're expected to go, you should go, and all of a sudden there was an upset. We made a mistake. So luck has to go your way. It's not just going to be, you know, you train well, so you're going to win. A lot has to go right. But we just have a higher standard, and I think we think a little differently.
No, well, Coach, that's generally a good thing to have. When you have a high standard, that generally breeds success and things of that nature, and that's been clear with the success of the program over the course of the recent years. We talk about that process season by season and how that works, and we get to the end of the regular season here, and just how has that team bought into it? Where is their mentality at? Do you think that they're ready to go right now?
You know, you get a lot of that conversation in the bus. You know, can't wait for Coach to figure out our offense to solve our problems. That's what I admire about them. Is from week to week or 10-day period, there's a shift. We don't stick with the same formation throughout the year. We don't stick with the same tactics throughout the year. It is vital that they learn several different things along the way so that when the time's right and I say, hey, we're playing 4-4-2 now, we're playing 4-3-3 now, hey, we're high-pressing, we're low-pressing, you know, we're tiki-taka now, they've bought into, okay, the staff knows what they're doing and we're going to do it. And that allows us as a staff to talk, hey, do you think we should do this real quick? You know, should we drop in a little holding midfielder? We think about a little bit more pace there. And whatever we say, we make the sub, and boom, they got it. They're doing it, and they're ready, and they're bought into it. And so they're really fun to coach, great group of players, really smart players on and off the field. It makes our job easier.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about it. It's almost like you know, you can never have enough tools in your toolbox, really, when it comes to that. So if they're capable and know the other formations and can adjust on a dime just like that, then that's going to pay dividends for you. And a lot of that, I feel like, too, we talk about the inexperience on the team. But you do have sophomores coming back that at least understand the mentality of the program. So which sophomores have kind of stepped up and really helped guide some of the freshmen?
Yeah, Strahina Pavicic didn't play a whole lot his freshman year, but he was obviously there last year at the Nationals, and he stepped up as a center midfielder. He's one that Slew was really interested in. Gary Suarez, he was questionable to come back, decided to come back. We're glad, and now he's in the most vital position, which is a holding midfielder. He didn't play that position last year, and he's a pillar now in that spot. Those two are probably our primary guys that we need to stay in their game. We have some other special players like Andres Vizaga, who's an attacking player. We had a transfer from Memphis University, Jacob Krupp, but he wasn't here last year, so he's not sure. You know, he doesn't have that experience. He has experience D1, but he doesn't have experience here. Nembio Yorkie, St. Louis kid, he went from being the captain center back to now coming off the bench and playing forward and buying into it. He knows that's his best chance to move on and to help the team. So when freshmen see that, different guys are stepping in, they're playing positions they didn't normally, guys that are buying into what's best for the team, how can you not be motivated by that as a freshman to see a guy start at one position and end in another, start literally on the field and now come off the bench and not really complain at all. So I have a lot of faith in our guys. Something would have to go really wrong for us to not get a result this Saturday. I have the utmost confidence in them. We're just cleaning up little things today and tomorrow.
Coach, we keep talking about the process of getting those players to the next level. As a coach, to do that, I imagine then that you have quite a lot of contacts out there and things of that nature. Is there a pipeline that you kind of establish with some of the upper-level coaches that you say that you're comfortable with? Hey, you know, I got this player is ready for this. And is there constant communication there at the university level as well?
Yeah, this is our 12th season, so we kind of have a rhythm of the four-year schools that are constantly recruiting out of our program and constantly trying to land us a player for them later. We have that all over. You know, Lindenwood sent us guys, SLU sent us some guys this year alone, but we get those calls all summer long. The high schools we recruit out of are the same high schools out of the state. You know, we recruit out of Northern California, we'd like to get one or two. We'd like to get a little bit of a pipeline from Nevada. This year we have Northwest, Windsor, DeSoto. We have a large group of players from Perryville, from the area, kind of a little sprinkle, right? And then we have our St. Louis. But the rhythm has been pretty much recruit more than half the roster more locally because you can go out and see them more times and really make sure that they would fit into our style. And then the pipelines, until the pipelines broke where they sent you a play that just didn't work out, you allow that pipe to stay open to flood players in until, because that's how good programs are built. These guys, for example, the ones that are from St. Louis know each other. The problem with that, if you have too many guys that have played growing up, they're not getting better because they just played with these guys for 3 or 4 years. So who's going to make them better? The guys that aren't from here are playing against guys who they're not used to playing with and training every single day. So the more diverse your roster is, the better your team will be. So the guys that are local, that are playing here, are more likely to be developed faster than an entire team of guys from one county. I mean, you could bring a whole county from Cali, you could bring a whole county from Florida, St. Louis, doesn't matter. The more diverse the roster from different styles of play, the better the players are going to be.
Yeah, very interesting, very interesting. And clearly a philosophy that's been working great for you so far. Coach, I won't keep you a whole lot longer. I know you got practice to attend to, but just obviously I just want to ask you right before we go, what are you looking for from your team getting into this region tournament? What are you looking for from them?
I'm looking for, at the end of the game, the other team saying that this is the hardest that they've ever had to work in a game, and Jefferson's going to go all the way. I want teams to leave the game feeling like we just outworked them, and we had every stone turned and every little space on the field covered. So I'm just looking for our guys to dominate the field, and I'm not looking for us to run scores up or anything. I'm not even expecting us to score more than a goal or two through each game. I'll be happy with one goal differential to win a game, but my high expectation is keep the ball out of our net and make their lives difficult to try to get in behind.
Hey, Coach Garzik, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
And best of luck going forward here in the region tournament. I guess it's going to, I mean, obviously the days in between will spread forward to next week. So hopefully next week we can have a conversation as well and you guys are still going forward.
All right. Thank you.
That's Coach Ricardo Garza of the Jefferson soccer team. They get set to play in the region of 16 quarterfinals. That's on Saturday afternoon. Come on out. It's at 2 p.m. They are the number 2 seed in the tournament. So we're going to switch gears a little bit when we come back here on the Viking Voices show. Garza, he's going to head down and get prepared to help prepare his team. We're going to go to women's basketball. That's already started, believe it or not. Preseason action has begun, and regular season will start up here in just a couple weeks. We'll be joined by head coach Steve Jarvis of the Jefferson basketball team when we come back here on 1400 KJFF.
New 2016 Fords with 0% APR and a big $3,000 rebate are here at Reuther Ford. Hi, this is Doug Jr. That's right. New 2016 models have 0% APR on approved credit, plus up to a $3,000 rebate. Right now, you can drive away in a new 2016 Ford Focus for just $13,500. Or check out a new 2016 Ford Fiesta SE for $13,900 after rebate. And truck and SUV buyers, this is your best chance to own either a new 2016 Ford F-150 F-150 or a new Ford Escape for as low as $20,900 after rebate. And all these special prices on Ford Focuses, Fusions, Fiestas, Escapes, and F-150s are before any trade-in or any military or college incentives added in. So your price could be even less than what I just quoted. October is the month to buy and save big. Get the very sweetest deal of the year right now at Ruther Ford, I-55 at the Herculaneum Auto Mall exit.
Thousands of patients receive blood daily to save their lives. Please take the time to save a life during your local blood drives. Together with the Jefferson County Recorder of Deeds, Debbie Dunnigan, Ruther Ford in Herculaneum, and Cost Cutter Snowplows in Peebly, we can make a difference. To find a current list of local blood drives, go to MIMOinfo.com, click on the Area Blood Drives tab, and scroll down to your county.
There's never been a better time than now to buy a new Harley. Hi, this is Tim Cerdak at Cerdak Harley-Davidson. Right now, get zero down and 1.99% financing on select new 2016 Harleys in stock. Come into Cerdak Harley-Davidson to see for yourself how the all-new Milwaukee 8 engine on our new 2017 touring models retains its iconic look while pushing the limits of power and comfort. You'll get 10% more torque and reduced vibration, and your first service is free. Come in and take a qualified test ride for a free T-shirt. Plus, if you're interested in a new 2016 Harley, we'll give you full retail value for your trade or a big bore upgrade on all new 2016 Dyna Softails and Touring Bikes. And here's a deal you can't pass up. Purchase any one of our remaining 2016 Harley-Davidson Screamin' Eagle CVO models and receive a new 90cc Articat ATV absolutely free. That's Cerdak Harley-Davidson, Highway 67 south of Festus. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Nothing rides like a Harley.
Vote for Real Justice. Hi, this is Judge Patricia Real. On November 8th, I would appreciate your support and vote so I can continue to serve our legal community in a fair, firm, and experienced manner as your Jefferson County Division 5 Circuit Judge. My judicial career spans 29 years in all facets of the law, both in front of and behind the bench. I'm honored to serve Jefferson County as your only female circuit judge and will continue to do so in Division 5.
Paid for by citizens to re-elect Patricia Real.
Did you know more than 562,000 people in the St. Louis area are living with prediabetes? Learn about and adopt the healthy eating and physical activity habits proven to reduce the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Receive support and encouragement from a trained lifestyle coach and fellow classmates. A new class begins on Thursday, October 27th at the Jefferson County Y. Participants who qualify will receive a free 12-week Y membership. For more information, contact 314-421-8838.
Welcome back to Jefferson College. We're joined now by the head coach of the Jefferson basketball team, Coach Jarvis. Coach, just how are we doing this afternoon?
I'm great. Just excited to kind of get things rolling here. So it's a fun time for us, and so we're really good.
Yeah, we were just talking about how crazy. Where did October go? It's already almost the end of the month. We got Halloween coming up around the corner, and then regular season action. But you guys playing already? Got some preseason games going
on.
Yeah,
we had a jamboree the Saturday, October 8th at ICC, and did some really good things that day. Came off with two wins and one loss in that, but came out kind of like gangbusters, and it was exciting to kind of see some of the potential that we have. So.
Yeah, and Coach, before we dive too much into the basketball team, one thing I did want to ask you about is I noticed you guys had that little skills meet and greet type thing for the basketball team. What was it, last Saturday?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, how'd that
go? This past Saturday. I mean, we had a good turnout. You know, since I've started here, I've tried to develop a youth program that we're doing skills and developing. And our goal, too, is to kind of try to help the county and the girls in the county, you know, be better basketball players and kind of fall in love with basketball. And so that's been really good. We've had that for a few years now, and we had a good turnout. And then, you know, we kind of had our inter-squad scrimmage just for everyone to kind of meet the players. And this year we added a family reception after that. And I think we had a kind of a group photo after, and there's, you know, 50 plus here. So, I mean, it was a great, great event for us.
Ah, right on. Good to hear, especially out there in the community. Get that local product. Go Huskies. You never know. One day they might be here, right?
Yeah, you know, it's. I think that's part of our obligation to be involved in the community and you know, trying to help basketball. And, you know, along the way, you might develop a player that, you know, eventually will help you down the road.
Yeah. So, Coach, let's talk a little bit of basketball for you. We're do a little preview segment here for you guys, everybody out there listening that may not quite be familiar with this year's team. Obviously, junior college, lots of turnover. So, Coach, just what have you seen from this team so far? Obviously, still very young in the season, but what kind of group can we expect?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of new faces. We've got 12 new faces this year, four returners from last year, and those returners will play a big part for us, and it's good to have that experience. But we also brought in three transfers that will come in as sophomores to try to help even out our classes a little bit too. And, you know, even though they've played college basketball 1 year, it's still new to our system. So, you know, we've kind of simplified things a bit going in and trying to get everybody comfortable with what we're trying to do and really evaluate our talent and see if we need to make some adjustments according to that talent. But, you know, it's everyone's catching on. I think we're really going to be deep. A lot of people can do a lot of different things, and I think they can help us. So, you know, it's interesting. We're still learning, and I think, you know, we've said all along it's not necessarily how we start the season but how we end. But, you know, I think we're going to get better, you know, as the year goes along too.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about the system and seeing them fit. As a coach, what is it that you like to run? Are you going to be more of a run-and-gun type team? You like to spread the floor, or you guys kind of like to slow things down and grind out basketball
No,
games?
We're up-tempo. You know, we want to try to defend, but we want to try to get up and down the court. You know, we kind of adjust a little bit to who we're playing, but, you know, our philosophy has been we want to try to look at the top teams in the region and figure out what's the style we need to have to beat those top teams, and that's kind of the way we're playing. And that's, you know, depending on – it doesn't really matter who we're playing, that's the style we're going to try to play. And we feel like to our strength we're going to try to get early baskets as much as we can. We're going to push the ball up and down the floor. You know, we've got a couple presses in already that we can play 94 feet and but again, I think in a half-court set, we're gauged on trying to get defensive stops, and that's what's going to make us successful if we can play defense and get stops and let that defense turn into offense.
So, Coach, is defense your number one priority then when it comes to the head coach kind of philosophy?
Well, I think we've spent a lot of time on it this year. I've tried to focus on that. I just think the group that we have can do some things defensively that maybe we haven't been able to do the last couple of years. So, you know, we've tried to gear some of our things early on to that. And, you know, that we've simplified our offense. We don't have as many options in and try to run some base sets off of that early on and then add those as we go. But again, I think if we can defend and have that defense lead to some offense, we'll be fine.
Is there a little more athleticism on the team than this year?
We're a little more athletic. We're bigger. We're like I said, we've got more players that can contribute and the physicality, no one's going to be able to push us around. I think we'll be a lot more physical than we were a year ago.
And that probably starts down in the key as well. So why don't we focus on the bigs going forward? Who are the kind of the key forwards going to be for you guys this season on the glass?
One of our returners, Janae Randall, is probably has the ability to be one of the top rebounders in the region. You know, the thing that she has is length, but she can get up and down the court. She creates a lot of problems defensively as on our press and getting her hand on the basketball into deflections. But what's going to help Janae so much this year is Dominique Jennings' transfer coming in, and she'll be inside. And she is aggressive scoring inside and can bang around a lot, and that's going to free Janae up to kind of go get the basketball in a lot of situations. So it kind of helps with that 1-2 punch. And then we have the freshman De'Asia Johnson coming in to be that third person in that rotation. And De'Asia's physical also and can finish inside. De'Asia's a really good passer inside, so I think that helps us too. But, you know, that rotation of those three will help us. We were hoping too that Izzy Ringling, a local product here from Hillsboro, would be able to contribute to that point. She's had a little bit of setback coming from her ACL injury, so she's not been able to go full go yet in all of her practices. So we think, you know, before the season's over that she'll be able to contribute there too to give us some more rebounding power. I mean, she was a great rebounder in high school and has a knack for trying to go get the basketball, so that'll help us too.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of games can be won on the glass, so it's an important part. But how about the backcourt as well? What are we looking for in terms of ball handling and shooting the basketball?
Well, it's going to be a combination. We kind of have those post, and then everybody else is kind of guard type players. And to start with it, you know, Dee McGinnis is our returning guard. You know, I've put a lot of pressure on her from last year. She probably at the end of the year was maybe our best player. You know, I think she's has the ability to kind of compete for the player of the year in the region. You know, she has the ability to get the ball to the basket, has really helped, improved in her ball handling ability. And she not necessarily plays the point, but she's kind of a power guard basically that can get the ball to the basket, jump up and shoot it. She can shoot the three. Tanner Bencomo was our backup point guard last year and got a lot of minutes at that spot. And we expect her to get a lot of minutes up there again this year, and kind of controlling the tempo and what we're trying to do. And she also shoots it well, too. So that's going to be good for us there. And then Greti Mincalisa is, you know, from Romania, but she finished her senior at Festus. And Greti can shoot the basketball and really bring us a lot. Her length adds a lot to it, and we expect a lot out of Greti. Greti maybe didn't play as much as the other three last year altogether, but preseason-wise here, she's really done a lot of great things for us, and we expect good things from her in the lineup. Alexia Nkali is another transfer that's coming in that was one of the metro area leading scorers a couple years ago in high school when she was at Carnahan, and she has the knack of scoring the basketball and just really can handle it, get it to the right person, a really good passer, and make some things happen. But again, she's one that can handle and not get pushed off the basketball and bring some physicality to the point guard position or the off guard position wherever we kind of play at that point. So that's our kind of our rotation out there of the sophomores. But, you know, we bring in Cheyenne Randall from Charleston. That Cheyenne's kind of a in between a little bit. She's going to play inside and out, but she can shoot the three. She's just kind of tenacious on the boards and brings a lot of stuff for us that, you know, we're really excited to see. Taylor Williams is from Cuba High School, Cuba, Missouri, that we expect her to really be able to shoot it. She really showed how she can shoot it at our scrimmage the other night. I mean, she was nailing threes just one after another in that. So, you know, I think she brings a lot of kind of diversity to the group a little bit with maybe being more of a pure shooter out there than some of the other players, but it gives us that option to kind of spread out. Shannon Triplets from Hazelwood Central. Shannon's kind of a power guard too that can get the ball to the basket, has the ability to score. You know, I think scoring is going to be something that we can bring from a lot of different people depending on how the matchups are and where it is. And our program's always been maybe that we've not had that one scorer that's going to average 25 a night, but we're going to have, you know, five and double figures, if not six, each night and kind of spread it out so they can't just stop one person. Tyra Bonner. Tyra comes from Sykeston. You know, Tyra's probably the fastest player we have on the team, and it's just kind of some adjustments now to playing and handling the ball a little bit more and those sort of things. But Tyra can shoot the three, and defensively, you know, she can flat get out and guard somebody. So that's, you know, like I said, it gives us a lot of ways to play, a lot of different, you know, depending on the matchups. But right there, I mean, we're 10 or 11 deep, and Irene Perez comes from Spain. Irene's kind of had some nagging little injuries preseason here, but she's really got great court awareness, and, you know, she's a bigger guard that can handle the ball and not get pushed off of it and really create some plays too. So we've got a lot of options to kind of go to. So that's a good thing for us.
Yeah. The more depth, that increase right. The rotation, fresh legs on the court and things of that nature, definitely going to be some good things. So we're going to go ahead and step aside for a short timeout here on 1400 KJFF. We'll come back, close things off with a couple more minutes here with Coach Jarvis when we come back.
Side-by-side racing is coming Saturday, October 22nd to the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Hillsborough. Tim Serdike Street Track and Trail is proud to sponsor this special night of racing. Tickets just $5. Kids 6 and under, free. Gates open at 5 with racing at 6. You will see side-by-sides in mid-runs, barrel races, and an obstacle course. Plus, live music by Borderline and great food and drinks. That's side-by-side racing Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Hillsborough. Go to jeffersoncountyfair.net for complete details.
It's time for your hospice note.
There are many misconceptions about hospice. Some of those misconceptions is that the end is near, that life is over, but it's not. And sometimes the best way to explain what hospice is to share what hospice is not. Hospice is not about quitting. It's not giving up or losing hope. It's about getting the help, the relief, and the emotional support that you and your loved one need right now. And in those moments of decision, you will want a hospice company that has stood the test of time and has been an anchor in your community. You will want a hospice that is made up of people that live, work, and worship right here in your area. A hospice company that treats you like family, not a corporate number. And one that will hold your hand and walk you and your family through the entire process. One that provides peace of mind when it matters most. Because you and your family, you're worth that. Because life is beautiful in all stages.
This has been your Hospice Note, proudly provided by Serenity Hospice Care.
Welcome back to 1400 KJFF and the Viking Voices Show on this edition Wednesday. We talked a little bit of soccer with Coach Garza earlier, his team getting sent to play in the quarterfinals. But now, believe it or not, basketball season right around the corner. At the beginning of November, the regular season slate will begin. But Coach, coming up, some more preseason action. You guys are going to Lawrence, Kansas for a little Mid-American showcase. So what kind of can we expect, or what can you guys expect there?
Well, I think the competition's really going to be good there. One of our goals is try to get out and get a chance for some of the four-year schools to see some of the kids play and early on, and kind of get some interest sparked from those. And it's really been positive feedback on the interest that we've gotten so far at the first Jamboree. And going out there again, we'll open up against Kilgore out of Texas, play at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, and then noon, I think, is our next game. Noon, then we play Barton College out of Kansas, and then we play again at 2 o'clock and play Cloud County. All really good programs, really good teams, and it is just that kind of a showcase for us. But it'll also let us kind of see how we stack up to kind of that national competition that we need to get to. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach, the regular season, only, what, a week and a half away now, looking at
crazy.
It?
It's crazy.
My goodness. And you guys open up, I believe I looked at the schedule, with three home games in a row.
Yeah, we have the three home games in a row. Preseason-wise, we have a couple other scrimmages coming up, too, that October 26th and October 29th. 26th, we play Fontbonne University here at 6:30, and then Saturday the 29th, we play Missouri Baptist University at 3. But then regular season, we have the November 2nd and November 4th here with Lindenwood Belleville JV, and then Missouri Valley JV, and then open up against Wren Lake, our first Division I opponent, on the 9th of November. So, hopefully we can get out of the gates strong and gain some confidence and really hit the ground running.
Coach, I asked you earlier just kind of what type of team you guys are in terms of fast pace and move the basketball type around. For fans that are going to be coming out watching you guys this year, is that kind of what they can expect? That definition that to define your team is
right.
Kind of a quick, fast-paced, high-octane type ball
club?
Yeah,
I think we're up. I wouldn't categorize this necessarily as the run and gun, because run and gun, you're probably trying to take just quick shots. We want to try to focus on good shots. We want to try to get good early shots as much as we can off transition. But we've had some games in the past too where maybe we didn't score as much, but defensively got enough stops that it was kind of a low scoring affair. So we have the ability to guard and do that if we need to, but we want to get our depth involved. We want to make that a difference maker in the game. So we need to get out and push the ball and push the tempo and try to get out and defend. And like I said before, we'll try to do some full court defense and create some offense off of our defense that way.
Coach, basketball aside, what are you most excited about working with this group of girls? Obviously, you get a new group every year, but now just what's kind of been standing out to you about this team?
You know, it was, and I talked about it last year with the team I had. That was our first, our sophomores that graduated and moved on. That was our first recruiting class being here. So, you know, there was definitely an attachment to that group coming in, and we had really good kids. And that's been my focus since I've come to Jefferson is to let the community understand and the college understand that we've got really good kids in the program. They're dedicated, they're hardworking, and you know, I love to be around them. They energize me because they want to learn and they want to be here. And just with our Meet the Viking scrimmage and all the family participation that was here during that, I think we've got kind of a close knit, and we've got a really good support system. That's the other thing that we're trying to build, is build a support system around the program where people are going to come out and watch them and really have vested interest in this group. And, you know, I think we got a really good start with that this year, and I think that's going to pay off and pay dividends for us in the long run because we've kind of got a tight-knit group.
Yeah, Coach, have any the sophomores or even maybe some freshmen kind of stepped up as the leaders of the team?
Well, I think my returners, the four returners, I've put that on their shoulders from that point. But you know, some of the transfers have come in. Dominique Jennings has really been good coming in and leading by example, and we're leaning on her a lot. But it's been nice for the freshmen to, as a group, come in, and no one in particular has to kind of bear the burden on their shoulders right away. And we've got, you know, the depth there to where everybody has their chance to kind of step up and do it. But, you know, Cheyenne Randall's really been kind of stepping up, and I think she brings a lot to the table for us from that point. And I've really been pleased with Taylor Williams of how she shot the ball. And you know, those, not that those two will be the only two in the rotation. Like I said, I think we'll play 10 or 11 deep at least easily on any given night. But, you know, I've liked some of the things that they've been doing.
Hey, Coach, thanks very much for coming on and joining us. I'll let you get on out there and get back to working on some of the things to tune up here for this weekend.
Right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Coach Jarvis of the Jefferson College women's basketball team. They're set for more preseason action at the Mid-American Showcase in Lawrence, Kansas. That's going to wrap up our coverage of the Viking Voices show tonight. But guess what? We got more Jefferson College and the listening airwaves. The volleyball team traveling down to face their rivals, Mineral Area College, down at the MAC campus in Park Hills. That game going to be live on J98. That's FM 98.5. That begins at 6:30 p.m. So be sure to tune in on that as Jefferson looks to top their rival MAC for the second time this season. We'll be back with more sports talk tomorrow at the usual time at 4:10. Madeline Gilbert will be coming up here with your news.
For the best cigars and the best high-end drinks and the best environment, make it Santino's Cigars and Cocktails in Arnold. Hi, this is Shannon. Santino's has the area's best bourbon and scotch selection anywhere. Plus, you can kick back and enjoy any of our standard, mainstream, or craft cigars, including our own private label brand. Our cigar and liquor selection is second to none, and you'll no longer have to drive to St. Louis for this kind of quality. We're Santino's Cigars and Cocktails, across from the Home Depot at the Richardson Vogel exit in Arnold. We have premium cigars and top-notch drinks and beautiful bartenders at Santino's Cigars and Cocktails.
Working hard for you.
Hi, this is Charlie Roberts with Roberts Pest Control. At Roberts Pest Control, we only use commercial products that do the job right the first time, and we guarantee all of our work. Your home is your biggest investment, so don't shortchange yourself and cut corners. Call us at 636-243-0900 or check us out on the web at www.robertspest.com. We guarantee our products 100% and proudly serve the regional radio area.
Working hard for you.
Hickory Plaza Comprehensive Health Center can provide all of your adult and pediatric medicine and dental care needs, as well as mental health and substance abuse treatment. Hi, this is Tracy Wicking. We want to be your health care home. Call us at 481-6040 for more information or to schedule an appointment at our new facility in Hillsboro. That number again